From NPR and WBUR, I'm Peter O'Dowd.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Outside New York's Museum of Jewish Heritage, there is a stunning sight, a huge brown cattle car that was used to transport Jews and others to the Nazi concentration camp Auschwitz. It's part of a new exhibit opening today, put together by preservationist and historian Robert Jan van Pelt. Hundreds of rare artifacts, including this cattle car. How many people would have been in here?
Around 80 people.
We know that when this was first brought here, a sacred moment for so many people, that there was an actual 92-year-old who came to witness this, who'd ridden in one of these. Yeah. I can't imagine that emotion.
Now, yeah, I think what we need to realize is that if we think about the Holocaust as a space, then your world gets contracted as persecution begins. And at a certain moment, you're arrested. And now it's contract to the moment that you're with 80 people in this dark space, but still your family is with you. Yeah. And then, of course, the moment that the door opens, you arrive in Auschwitz, all of that disappears in the flesh. Because now everyone gets separated without opportunity to say goodbyes.
And do you worry that this might be too emotional? I mean, there are many museums around, but this is...
When we opened in Madrid, my 92-year-old father went through the exhibition and he collapsed in tears. And I thought, actually, he would die. But, you know, you cannot live without risks, and you cannot in some way research history without risks. History is not safe.
Inside the spacious Museum of Jewish Heritage, we're greeted by Museum Board Chair Bruce Ratner, who first saw the Auschwitz exhibit in Spain.
It was difficult. I had lost a number of members of my family.
And here you are, though. You're already in a place that will bring you to tears. How does this go beyond that?
It's almost difficult to describe because 700 artifacts and objects, 400 photographs, it's so detailed, and the artifacts are so meaningful that you can't help by being impacted in a way that I've never been impacted by any exhibition.
We enter through a long, dark hallway filled with home movies of European Jews carefree before the war. A quote on the wall from Auschwitz survivor and author Primo Levi.
It happened, therefore it can happen again.
We've now entered a very dark room. I'm looking over here. We see barbed wire. Are these the actual cement pillars?
Yes, they are from the camp itself.
Huge cement posts with barbed wire strung along them as fencing. You couldn't possibly get out this. And this is all from the camp.
Yes, yeah.
We're now riding up an escalator, which... Where are we going? I mean, I just had the sense of what that must be like to get on a train or to just, I am just doing what you tell me to do.
Yes, exactly. And this is, in that sense, we exploit the architecture of this building.
As we move through the rooms with Robert Jan van Pelt, we move through history, showing just how the Nazis were able to build on populist hate of the other. How Pope Honorius decreed that Jews wear oval badges in the 1200s. How, in the early 1900s, French scholar Paul de Lagarde proposed that all Jews be sent to Madagascar, a plan the Nazis later proposed as well. Everywhere there are photos and mementos that become totems, everyday items made sacred. We turn a corner, in a glass case, a simple white medical coat and some medical devices.
In fact, we have here one of the most chilling artifacts in the exhibition. When the war broke out, the Germans also started to killing the disabled. So this was basically the first massacres was on German disabled people. Dr. Georg Renow murdered more than 20,000 people.
Because they were disabled?
Because they were disabled. When basically we are willing, when we accept that we are going to kill our own people who are not capable of functioning in the racially pure society, who can stop us to kill the others?
Well, here's a quote in 1997. 1997, yeah. He said he didn't feel guilty. He'd brought his victims relief.
We arrive now in Auschwitz with the deportees. We see a display with suitcases. And one suitcase in this case has a name on it, and we researched who this person was, and so we tell the story. We have a special display here that is in some way a memorial to the children who were murdered shortly after their arrival.
It's very painful. There's two little children's outfits, one a little dress, one a onesie, and a little, looks like a handmade doll, some buttons, lots of buttons. I see, even though you live with this, it feels that seeing this has...
I have tears in my eyes right now. Yeah. I mean, I'm watering up. So, no, this is every... You don't never get used to this. I mean, I can talk about it and so, but this is, in some way, the core of the Holocaust is the murder of the children. And we're basically now in a display that deals with undressing room, the gas chambers, and the ovens.
And we have a shoe.
It is a shoe. If you look very carefully at it, it was repaired many times. Probably a hand-me-down the shoe from one brother to the next one. Inside the shoe, the sock is still tucked. We literally look at the last act of a little boy. Yeah, mother says, okay, put your sock in the shoe, like any mother will say when you go to the swimming pool, yeah? Because I don't want you to lose your sock. So dutifully, this boy puts the sock in the shoe, is now naked to go to the showers, and he does it because he expects to come back. And of course he doesn't come back.
In this large space stands a full shower room. We stand outside the door, which has a peephole.
This side is the perpetrator side. There's all the hardware to open and close the door. Yeah?
And now we go around
the back.
And
now we go to the other side. There's no hardware anymore. There's no way that anyone cramped in this room would be able to do anything. So for me, I'm just trying to imagine. I mean, this is, again, for me, a very emotional, because you're crammed with 2,000 people in a gas chamber of 200 square meters. Yeah? There's nothing you can do anymore. You're naked, this door closes, the gas comes in, so column like this, and the only agency you have left is try to break that little peephole. As if it will make any difference.
This is very uncomfortable. I don't want to think about that.
Now, I don't actually want you to think about it. I want you to feel it. What I do hope that when you come into this room is that you feel there is something fundamentally wrong. Fundamentally wrong here.
We move on through a room with a huge barracks, a stretcher that carried the dead, another room dedicated to the resistance, and finally, one honoring the liberation, little tins of condensed milk the prisoners found after the SS abandoned the camps.
We also have the only window that looks outside.
Yeah, we're finally able to see the Statue of Liberty right through this window at this museum. That's amazing.
Yeah, so we designed it that we would have this view.
And here, another glass case with a beautiful bathrobe made from what looks like gray wool. Robert tells us the story of Jakob Grunbaum, a tailor whose family was murdered at Auschwitz. After liberation, he took a job as a tailor for the American Occupation Army, heard about an abandoned warehouse full of Nazi uniforms.
So Jakob goes into that warehouse, he takes a bale of that material, and out of this SS uniform material makes himself a house robe. Mm-hmm. Now think about it. This man had been a slave. Miraculously he survived. So one thing that he did not have for 6 years was an opportunity or a place to wear a house robe. And he creates this house robe out of SS uniform material. Mm-hmm. And he ends up marrying a local girl, actually, who converts to Judaism. And the girl is my mother-in-law.
No. Yeah. Wait. You met your wife, who is also in this research field. You met her at the modern Auschwitz.
Yeah.
And this is
her father's story. Yeah.
So this is so personal for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is, I mean, I don't think that you get into this field if it's not personal. There are many children of survivors, grandchildren. All of us struggle in some way what we do with that legacy.
Finally, a sun-filled exit. We see the same happy families we saw as we entered. We can leave. They can't.
And then we come here to the last message we want to give.
The words of an Auschwitz survivor.
You who are passing by, I beg you, do something. Learn a dance step. Something to justify your existence. Something that gives you the right to be dressed in your skin and in your body hair. Learn to walk and to laugh, because it would be too senseless, after all, for so many to have died while you live doing nothing with your life?
What do you expect to happen, Robert, when you send people out?
I hope that they appreciate how precious this life is.
Our visit to the new Auschwitz exhibit, not long ago, not far away, that opens today at New York's Museum of Jewish Heritage. Our guide, Robert Jan van Pelt, who is also an architect and painfully aware that architects had to design Auschwitz. He said he began his research to try to figure out why. We also spoke with Bruce Ratner, Museum Board Chair.